welcome to House of Comments. I'm afraid I'm not joined this week by Nick Dennis, who is, I think, somewhere screaming into a hole about the Tories' eternal existential crisis. But I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Thompson. Hello, Mark.
Hello. I certainly don't blame Nick for wanting to give it a miss. It's an absolute shit show at the moment.
Absolutely, yes. A Brexit show.
Indeed.
Yes. So obviously there's really only one topic that we could cover this week. So we thought we'd just sort of run through it, swear a lot. This is definitely going to be a sweary one.
Yeah. I mean, I think just for context, we should just make it clear. It's just after 9 p.m. on Thursday, the 15th of November, just for context, because by the time this is released, God knows that the story might have moved on.
70 more people have resigned.
Yes, indeed. I mean,
we've had three more press conferences where she tells us that nothing has changed.
Well, apparently she's co-hosting with Nick Ferrari on LBC tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. So, yes, she's really getting out there at the moment.
God. How many times, how many different ways can she tell us that nothing has changed?
Yes, indeed.
Well, yes, so lots has changed. We now have the outline of the Brexit deal. Mark, do you want to, I mean, I can run through it, or would you like to run through what the vague details of that are?
I think I'm quite happy for you to run through it, and then we'll just kind of try and pick apart the consequences.
So basically, as far as I understand it, which is not very far, we remain in some sort of customs arrangement, almost completely aligned in terms of customs, and therefore have and agree to remain aligned. So if anything changes in Europe, we have to adopt those changes in order to continue to sell to them, which would stop the issue of the hard border on the island of Ireland. But there were also additional provisions, I believe, for Northern Ireland to further ape the single market in order to make that work. There is a backstop that the European Union controls, so they can say, no, look, we're not there yet. You've got to keep these provisions. So they're technically supposed to only last for 2 years. But in fact, the decision about when they end will be up to the European Union and not us.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I've missed? I'm sure there's loads.
Well, I mean, there's loads of details, like a 500 page document.
Which I haven't read. Those are the key kind of things that everyone's kicking off over. It's not a proper customs union, but it's not a proper customs union. It's not EFTA. It's not Canada Plus. It's not Norway. It's just not very good.
No. I mean, I think I can probably summarise my view on this, because this was my view on it 2.5 years ago, before we'd even had the vote, because must have been a couple of weeks before the referendum, my father-in-law, who he socialises with lots of people, I think, who are kind of quite Brexity. That's my understanding anyway. He plays golf, and you know, you can imagine, like, golf clubs, like, that's exactly the sort of place where you'd get lots of people talking, you know, about Brexit and it would be better if we're out of the EU and all of that stuff. He never explicitly told me that, I just kind of guessed. And he said to me one day, he said, "Mark, you've 2 minutes, persuade me why I should vote Remain." And I remember pretty much exactly what I said. I said that if we vote to leave, we won't actually be able to extricate ourselves from all of these relationships that we have with the EU and its various bodies, because we're still going to want to sell goods to them. And in order to sell goods to them, we're going to have to obey all the rules. And it's the biggest market, it's right on our doorstep. But if we have to obey the rules from outside, then we'll have no say in what those rules are. And so we'll still have to obey them all, and we'll still have to make sure that everything that we do complies with all of these rules, but we won't be able to control what those rules are. And that is the main reason why I think we should remain, even though I thought and still think that the EU is far from perfect and there were and are problems and it does need reform. I thought we were better off in, and I thought we got a good deal from being in. And I feared that what would happen is pretty much exactly what this deal is, which is that we'll be outside and we won't have any political representation within it to influence any of these things, but we'll have to obey all the rules. And I think it's pretty clear that the unicorns and fairy dust that some of the more prominent Brexiteers think that we'll have from technological solutions to things like borders and hard borders and soft borders and all the rest of it, just simply won't happen. And what will happen is that we will just remain forever in this kind of limbo. And exactly like you said, Emma, as they change the rules, we'll have to follow those rules. Otherwise, we won't have access and there'll be backstops and suddenly there'll be a border in the Irish Sea. And that's just the way it'll go. And I think what is very telling is that if the Brexiters believe the unicorns and fairy dust technological solutions, they would be okay with this, because they would know that soon, in a couple of years or a few years, we'll have the technological solutions and it'll all be fine. They obviously know that that's bollocks, which is why they are so up in arms about this deal. That's the proof.
Yeah. No, I just think there's been a reality and an unreality all along. And I don't think most people on the Remain side were that unrealistic about what the EU was like, was and is like. I don't think most people arguing to Remain were arguing for Remain and reform in some format. But that has been massively usurped by the absolute mad unreality of the Brexiteers and their just inability to grapple with the truth, with compromise, with how negotiation works, with what even a negotiation actually is. They seem to believe a negotiation is us storming in, demanding everything we want, and somehow that working and us getting it.
And the whole thing has been refracted through this prism of an internal war within the Tory party, with very little reference to what the 27 other countries in the EU might want or agree to.
Not least Ireland.
Indeed.
They have been leading a lot of the sort of negotiation because they are the most affected country. And they have the muscle of 26 other countries behind them, and we've decided that we don't want that. So we're on our own with no allies.
So the deal that May has negotiated, I guess my view on it is I don't think she's handled the negotiations brilliantly well. And I think in terms of the way she's tried to manage expectations at home, she's fucked up quite badly, because there's all this stuff about red lines and I won't accept this and I won't accept that, and being very bellicose. And actually what she's ended up with is something that does have quite a lot of compromise in there. It has to have compromise in there, but she did not prepare the ground for this very well. She probably felt, because of her extreme right wing, that she wasn't able to. However, I do think that what she's got is roughly what any prime minister trying to negotiate this would get. I think the shape of it and the outline of it would be roughly this. Some of the detail would be different, I'm sure. But I don't think there's some magic deal that would give us everything that the Brexiters promised during the referendum campaign, before they scattered to the four winds to not be held accountable. That's just not possible. It's not feasible. No prime minister could do that. Even if Theresa May gets run over by a bus tonight and Jacob Rees-Mogg takes over tomorrow, heaven forfend, he wouldn't be able to negotiate a better deal than this. No. He just wouldn't.
No, he would not negotiate a better deal. He would go for no deal.
Well, he wouldn't even try. But, you know, let's say one of the Brexiters who, you know, is claiming that there's a better deal available, someone like Dominic Raab, for example, who seemed to think that there was a better deal, and this is just a real letdown. I mean, obviously, Dominic Raab has resigned as Brexit Secretary now. He wouldn't be able to do it either. It's just, it is literally just magical thinking. Yeah. That you...
Well, there is a better deal out there, Mark. It's called staying in. And that is...
Yeah, it's very easy to be on the outside of the tent pissing in, isn't it? It's like, it's very telling that the Brexiters' answer every time it goes the way they don't like is to just bugger off and then claim that it would all be fine if only they were in control.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a constant, it's very Trumpian in a, it's everything else is everybody else's fault. We're going to go negotiate the best deal in the world. Oh, hang on, that's just fallen apart. But, you know, not our fault. It's everybody else's fault. Now, the one thing that seemed to be certain in politics was that Theresa May would be in trouble and Theresa May would survive. Huh. Is that going to hold? Will she still be Prime Minister in March?
I mean, it's impossible to say, isn't it? I've got so many things wrong over the last few years that I wouldn't like to say. I think this is definitely by far and away the most dangerous period she's had since she became Prime Minister. But she has said,
I would say just post-election was probably about as bad as this.
Yeah, actually, that's probably true. There were a few hours. I suppose it's easy to forget because she stayed on, didn't she? But that is actually perhaps a useful case in point, because I think most other leaders, most other prime ministers at that point would have gone, and she didn't. And I suspect that her instinct, at least, is going to be the same. You can see tonight she came out fighting. She came out fighting in the Commons. She stood up for 3 hours. She gave what I thought was actually a pretty good performance in the Commons. She gave a press conference at about 20 past five today, and then she took lots of questions. And again, I thought she did okay. I mean, I don't think she's got a very good hand that she's playing, but I think given what she has got, I think she did okay. And I think she is determined to stay on. And apparently she said that if she is challenged and if there is a confidence vote, if she wins by one vote, she stays. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if that is the case. Like traditionally, if a political leader or a prime minister wins a vote, but only wins it very narrowly, that's usually fatal for them, for their political career. However, we saw with Corbyn only a couple of years ago that most of his shadow cabinet resigned, and it was clear that the vast majority of his parliamentary party were against him, and he just carried on. He just didn't care. Now, the difference with Corbyn is that he knows that he will win if it goes to a vote of the members of the party, whereas Theresa May doesn't have that, you know, that privilege. However, what she does have is that there isn't any obvious successor that people can coalesce around here. And I think there would be like rats fighting in a sack if there actually was an attempt to try and depose her and replace her. It's not like everyone is going to get behind Boris Johnson.
No, what there is at the moment, as I understand it, a lot of stop X candidate movements, because the Tory rules, if there does
go into
a leadership contest, so they have to put the 48 letters into Graham Brady, who's the chair of the 1922 backbench committee. Once they get to 42 letters of no confidence, that triggers a vote of no confidence. If she wins that, she can stay on, and she got a year worth of grace. They cannot do it again within a year. So she wins that, she takes us through Brexit. Then she probably steps down after Brexit. If she loses that, we have a new contest for leader. And as you said, there are, and that will be between two MPs who are selected by their fellow MPs. So it's not a case of anybody can get on a ballot if they can get X amount of nominations. So that gets whittled down to two candidates. Now, I've heard a lot about, there will be a movement to stop Boris. There will be a movement to stop Rees-Mogg. There will be a movement to stop AN Remainer. Amber Rudd can't do it because her majority is too small. I haven't heard any positive reason why anyone is going to vote for somebody other than Rees-Mogg throwing out every name of every Brexiteer in the party. So, yeah, I think that if they come at her and miss, they're in even deeper trouble than they are now. If they can't convince enough people that the worst possible person won't get the leadership, then people may well not vote no confidence.
Yeah, and it's one thing to get 48 letters, which as a time of recording, they still haven't done. I mean, you know, today was very febrile, and you would imagine that, you know, given that Jacob Rees-Mogg actually published his letter when he sent it in. That was obviously an attempt to try and encourage other Tory MPs to do the same thing. And the fact that that, as of yet, doesn't seem to have had the desired effect means that they're still not at 48. And it's one thing to get to 48, but they've got to get to like 157 or something, or 159, I think it might be, in order to actually topple her. And that, so that would require more than three times as many people who need to send the letters in. And that's a big ask. You know, that's
you're trying to convince that many people that Boris definitely won't get it. It's tough.
Yeah. But someone, I saw someone today on Twitter. In fact, it's Guy Pratt, who is Mike Pratt's son from the original Randall and Hopkirk deceased. I really like Guy's. He's a musician and he tweets lots of good stuff. But today he tweeted that he'd love to see Jacob Rees-Mogg run because he'd love to see him crash and burn. And I just cautioned him, hang on a minute. We all thought that about Trump. I remember there's a clip of John Oliver laughing his head off on his program a few years ago, begging Trump, please stand, please run, it will be so great. And, you know, now he's the leader of the free world. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. And what's worth bearing in mind, and what I did reply to Guy saying, is that if Jacob Rees-Mogg ends up in the final two, would you really bet against the Tory membership?
No, absolutely not. Prime Minister? You see, he gets mobbed at conference. Absolutely mobbed.
Yeah, he's like the Tory equivalent of a rock star, isn't he? I mean, God knows what they see in him. I just see some kind of pseudo intellectual thug.
He's just
basically.
A prat. He's a prat with a posh accent. Posh accent will get you very far, but it doesn't stop some people noticing that you're just a prat.
What is it about kind of middle class people, and even just the wider population actually, that see when someone speaks Latin and uses long words and has a posh voice, what is it about that that's so magnetic? You know, Boris is seen as this kind of wonderful character. He's such a character. He's so eccentric, so British, and you're getting the same thing with Jacob Rees-Mogg. He's an extremist. He's an extremist and he's trying to damage the country for reasons that are probably best known to him. He would probably argue that he's not damaging the country, but if he wants a no-deal Brexit, by definition, he is trying to damage this country. Even if he thinks in 50 years' time, as he said, that it will all be fine. Well, great. Most of us will be dead by then. And in the meantime, we've got to bring up our families and try and get by for the next few decades. It'll be all right for him.
Yeah,
he's exactly. Very, very wealthy.
Exactly. So... The upshot, ultimately, is that we don't really know where we are. Do you think that the bill will pass the Commons? I can't see how it does. I'll put my cards on the table, as you've already put yours down. I cannot get the maths to work in any way. Labour have said they'll vote against. Now, even if some Labour MPs vote for, and I think probably some of the usual suspects, your Kate Hoey, Kelvin Hopp.
Well, I think Kate Hoey isn't going to vote for it, but I think most of the others probably will. Graham Stringer.
Graham Stringer, I think, has said he's not going to vote for it.
Frank Field was quite supportive in the Commons today of Theresa May, so he'll probably will.
But there are just not enough Labour rebels who are going to vote against it. They would lose their party. They would, you know, it would be it. They would not be a Labour MP very quickly. They would be accepting a very damaging deal. It's not like their pro-Remain constituents would go, oh, thank you. It's not like their Leave constituents would particularly say, oh, thank you either, because they're not keen on this either. A Sky polling today had remaining at 52%, something like 52-53%. Leave without a deal at something in the early 30s.
This deal
in the teens.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. I mean, I tweeted out, actually, you know, the third of the British population who seem to be quite happy with no deal, do they actually really want, do they mean no deal? Because if they actually mean no deal, like every time I've had a conversation or a Twitter discussion with someone about no deal, it becomes apparent very quickly that the person I'm talking to doesn't actually mean no deal. They mean some sort of deal, some sort of
yes.
to make sure
a no deal that does allow us to fly planes and have medicine.
Exactly. So there'll be some, you know, there'll be some sort of deal to cover the planes, some sort of deal to cover the medicines coming in and out, some sort of deal to cover nuclear material. Actually, before long, when you start unpicking it, you start to realise that what they're talking about is a relatively substantial deal. They're just calling it no deal. And I don't know what methodology these pollsters are using and how clearly they are defining what no deal means. But I think most people, when they say no deal, they don't really mean no deal, because
they mean burn it all down. But they don't mean burn it all down, including my house and my hospital.
Yeah, we literally cannot leave with no deal, because if we do, it will be an absolute catastrophe. Anyway, yes, I can't see how it gets through the Commons for the reasons that you've said. There will be lots of Tories who will vote against it. The DUP are going to vote against it. Labour are probably going to vote against it from the looks of it.
I think they've said that they are now. I mean, the email from Jeremy came out today and it was pretty clear that they're not supporting.
So apart from at the margins, a handful of Labour rebels. The Lib Dems will largely vote against it, although Stephen Lloyd is apparently going to vote for it, because I think he said in his election address he promised he would. I suspect he probably wouldn't have won the seat he won if he hadn't have promised something like that. And to be fair to him, he is going to honour that. But I think most of the rest of the Lib Dems aren't going to do that. SNP are obviously going to vote against. The Greens are going to vote against. Plaid Cymru are going to vote against. There is just no path for her to win this. Now, one potential path to get a vote on, probably not this, but a variant of it, could be it goes to the Commons. They have big, long debates about it. It eventually gets voted down. Theresa May then goes away and she regroups. And she maybe gets one or two more concessions from the EU. Maybe. I mean, maybe she won't be able to, but maybe she tries and maybe she gets something. Or at least she can spin it that she has. And then she comes back to the Commons and she faces everyone down and says, it's literally either this or no deal. And, you know, see the whites of her eyes.
That's interesting, because that's not what she said, was it? What she said was, it's either this, no deal, or no Brexit.
Well, the problem is she's trying to face both ways at once. She's trying to scare people who don't want no deal, and she's trying to scare people who don't want no Brexit. And she's trying to make them both think that it's possible that the thing that they fear most could happen. But one way or another, she could make it clear that this is the last chance. If it's not this, then it will be the chaos of not knowing which way it's going to be, either possibly no deal, or possibly another referendum, in which case it ends up potentially being no Brexit at all. Or you could have no deal, which they probably, if everyone took three steps back from this and looked at this situation, they probably would be able to get a majority, if people would be sane and calm and rational about this, to actually vote this deal through. Because people who want to remain in the EU don't want no deal. And people who want to leave the EU don't want to find that there's another referendum and they end up losing that and we end up remaining in the EU. So it's funny, even though no one's really happy with this deal, at the same time, you know, if there was a referendum and there were the three choices were listed, my first choice, number one, would be to remain. Number two would be this deal. And number three, well, I wouldn't vote for number three, no deal. I wouldn't rank it. So, and I suspect most people who voted Remain would vote that way. And most people who voted Leave would probably vote for either May's deal or no deal, one or two, and probably wouldn't vote for Remain.
But if it split between those two and there was 50% for the Remain, then we'd remain. And that's why people who want to remain probably wouldn't accept this deal at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a referendum, it would. I think it's going to have to be, if there is a referendum, it's going to have to be AV. You're going to have to be able to rank your choices. Or we do what they do in France, which is you have a vote where you get to choose the three and you just put an X next to them. And then whichever two come top, you then have a runoff vote and then you choose that way. And that might be the better way to do it, because a lot of people have been saying, oh, it's too confusing, it's too complicated. All the same shit that we heard during the AV referendum campaign of, oh, people are too confused about putting a one and a two and a three. Like, that's bollocks. But to just avoid any of that, you could just say, we'll do a vote 1 week, and then a week later or 2 weeks later, we'll have another vote for the top two. And that would be a lot more expensive, but at least it would be more transparent, I suppose.
What if in the first vote something got over 50% of the three options?
Then it would win automatically.
Then still have a runoff.
Then it would win automatically. That's the way those runoff vote systems work.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're agreed that it's not going to get through the Commons. I think that Theresa May probably is going to get through to Brexit. I don't think it's definite. I don't think it's nailed on. But I can, whereas I can see no path for this getting through the Commons, and I can read to you from the email that went out from Jeremy Corbyn to members today. Parliament's votes down this shambolic Tory deal, as seems likely, this will represent a loss of confidence in the government. In those circumstances, the best outcome for the country is an immediate general election that can sweep the Tories from power and deliver the Labour government this country desperately needs. If we cannot get a general election, in line with our conference policy, we will support all options remaining on the table, including campaigning for a public vote. That's quite a big shift from him. I mean, it's a shift because he's been literally courted into it by the vote at conference, but it is quite considerably different from where he was.
Yeah, and I suppose given what's happening now, it probably is a bit more likely that there will be another referendum than previously, but I would still put it as certainly way less than 50%. I think other things would have to change and other things would have to happen before we get to that point. But who knows? You know, things are so fluid at the moment. I mean, I wouldn't at all surprise me if tomorrow May actually changes her mind and does resign. I mean, it could happen. Or maybe another three cabinet ministers.
I mean, I think she desperately wants to. She looked so exhausted at that press.
I'll tell you what, if I was there, I'd be off. I would absolutely be off. And I would, my resignation statement would just tear the whole thing down. The Tory party, I mean. Just like, what?
Yeah. No,
I bet she is absolutely fuming inside, but she can't say it. She can't show it. At least she feels she can't. Maybe she should just do a Trump and just say exactly what she feels.
It's not her style, though, is it?
No.
Okay, well, I think we've depressed ourselves enough. There really isn't any news this week that's not Brexit or cabinet resignations due to Brexit or Theresa May looking very ill and not resigning and saying nothing has changed due to Brexit. So I think we probably better leave it there.
Yeah.
Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And it just remains for me to say that this has been a Political Human production, and thank you to Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com.